Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS, and I have Senator Billy O'Dell with me here today. He's, I guess you go back tomorrow, don't you, Billy?
Yeah, we got to go in at 12 tomorrow.
12 tomorrow, and what's been happening down there? You had an interesting week, I heard, last week.
Oh, yeah, it was a very interesting week. The big issue was the bill that we're currently debating on the floor, and that's pertaining to bill carrying guns into restaurants. Right now, it's still hung up and don't know what the outcome's going to be. I think it'll probably pass, but there's a lot of amendments that are being placed on the bill that aren't too appealing to me.
Okay, so this is the one about just carrying into restaurants, concealed weapons into restaurants, correct?
That's correct. And what they're saying is that a restaurant can put a sign up that says no weapons allowed after a certain time. But I figure if you go in there, if you're drinking, alcohol and guns don't mix too well.
So you would not be in favor of this one?
I'm probably going to vote for the bill.
Okay.
But I'm not going to I'm not going to vote for any of the crazy amendments that are being put up.
Such as? What kind of crazy amendments are being put
up?
Well,
one I understand is they're going to say if you've got a shotgun and you want to take it into the restaurant with you, then that should be allowed because that's your right. I don't agree with that.
Now, what about the fact? Now, that brings up an interesting part because you definitely, I don't think, can conceal a shotgun.
No.
Well, and so that's that open carry, no concealed weapons.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that one? It sounds like we're going back to the wild, wild west.
Well, it is, and we don't need that. I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. You know, down here in the South, we hunt and fish, and most everybody's got a shotgun or a pistol or a rifle, and I support that. But I think you can get overboard on where you take these weapons. I don't think people need to be taking them into places where there's good chance of trouble. If it's that bad and you're afraid you're going to get hurt in there, then you shouldn't go.
Sure. And we were talking about if there was an accident or something and a police officer came up and everybody was sporting guns, how would you know who to look at?
And that's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, these fellas come in and they go into the scene of a crime and they pull up and there's five guys out there with guns. They don't know who the criminal is. So how do you address that? I mean, there's all kind of problems with this type of thing.
Absolutely. Well, I find it interesting. Some people have been coming up and saying that that they thought that guns needed to be used and, you know, that if they're just sitting, that it's bad for the gun. So that was one thing that I read about this. But huge crowds have been turning out when, Senator Bright brought this bill up.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw some clip on TV when he was in Greenville. He had a public hearing. He had a tremendous crowd in support of it.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I don't think that I'm going to support it.
You don't think you're going to support it?
Not that particular bill. Now, that's another bill. There's others, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot going on on guns right here in South Carolina.
Well, in some cases it makes you stronger politically if you support a lot of these, what I call, crazy issues. And I'm not into that. I want to get jobs for people. That's what I'm interested in trying to support, educate our people. Do something about the infrastructure in our state, our roads, our water, and our sewer. That's what I think I'm down in Columbia for, not to address a bunch of political issues.
Well, the gun issue definitely is a political issue. Now, speaking of education, Governor Haley has come out very strongly to say that she wants to move the elected superintendent of schools into a cabinet position. And when she was in Greenwood a couple of weeks ago, she was definitely calling your name and Senator Nicholson's out to support it. And at this point, you weren't supporting it. Have you changed your mind?
No, I haven't. And I was at the luncheon, the chamber luncheon, when she did call me out. And, you know, I supported, that advocated and supported for the lieutenant governor to be appointed or to run with the governor. I've introduced a bill, which I'm sure is going to pass, to have the adjutant general be appointed, because I think that's an office that there's got to be certain criteria for a man or a woman to run that job. And we've got the best National Guard and reserves in the country.
Absolutely.
And we've been fortunate. We've had good adjutant generals. But we never, you know, I think we're putting some criteria in there that they will have to qualify to be in that position. And I think that's a more a better way to go about trying to ensure that we continue to have the best National Guard in the country. As far as the Department of Education, I have not seen anything that tells me that by appointing the Department of Education superintendent, that it will improve education in South Carolina. And if they come out with a plan that shows me how they're going to advocate and how they're going to change things, then I'll talk to them. But they haven't done that. As a matter of fact, they haven't even talked to me about it. So, you know, that's okay.
So she's called you out, but she hasn't talked to you. She said she only needs 3 votes.
Well, she might need more than that before it's over, but, you know. We'll see. But you know, I supported the cabinet form of government under Carroll Campbell. Mm-hmm. I supported that because it's a good business model to have someone in charge of some of these agencies to make sure that everything is going as it should. Now, in the last few years, the Department of Health and Human Services, the cabinet agency, came up with the largest budget deficit that I've seen since I've been in Columbia, $220 million deficit. Cabinet agency. The Department of Corrections had about a $25 million deficit. That's again the cabinet agencies. So, you know, and we're talking about now the Department of Revenue that we've already spent over $25 million on just trying to give people protection
so their information
cannot be used against them. We've got to go further than that. We've got to protect them for years down the road because this stuff is just laying out there, Social Security numbers, banking, everything. And whoever's got it is going to be selling it. So that means we're going to have to spend a bundle of money to try to improve that situation. Again, that's a cabinet agency. So, you know, cabinet agencies aren't the answer to everything. Maybe in some people's mind they are, in mine they aren't.
So when we come back, we're going to talk some about the Department of Revenue and what happened there and, of course, how they're dealing with it. We also have infrastructure issues to talk about and some criminal justice system, what's happening there. Hey, if you've got a question for Senator Billy Odell, please don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're here with Senator Billy Odell. If you have a question, don't hesitate to pick up that phone. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are, God, I think we're all suffering from allergies from this pollen and everything. It's been rough for me too, Billy. But the Department of Revenue, you brought that up, the scandal where everything got hacked and everything. How did you feel that the explanations and everything went? I mean, I'm pretty sure you were in on those hearings or whatever.
As a matter of fact, I was a subcommittee chairman, two of us were, to look into that. And we learned a lot about what occurred. And it's really frightening as to what might occur. We had, I think, 13 meetings talking to different people that's involved in the technology aspect of it, and also we got some information about how this thing happened. And one of the things that amazed me, of course, that horse is out of the barn. We're never going to address it. I mean, it's done. But what amazed me was that they had the software to put on the computers, and because it was too much trouble, they hadn't done it.
That's kind of frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, and that cost was, if I recall, I think it's around $60,000 to do that. Now, we've already spent $25 million just protecting, trying to protect the people that their documents were hacked. So if we'd have just spent that $60,000, we'd have been a lot better off. But again, we are addressing it. The legislature's addressing it. We came out with a bill in the past, got third reading last week, that will require the governor to make certain that set up a system of where there would be stopped checks and balances, security. The people, and for instance, in prior DOR, the budget person could override the security person as to what was going to be done. That's not going to happen again. The security man's going to be able to have joint power there.
Say, we need to do this and get on it.
Right, and he can go to the agency head and say they can both go, and then the agency head will take, if he doesn't do, if he doesn't protect us, then his head will fall.
Sure.
But they didn't have that prior, and it should have been in place. I mean, that's just, you know,
Common sense.
You would have thought that would have been in place, but it wasn't.
So what do you think about where we're going as far as the cost and everything? Are we going to be able to pay for this?
We'll have to. I mean, we have no choice because these documents are vital documents, Social Security numbers, bank tracking information. But the sad part about it is this thing could go on for years, and we don't know at this point how much it is going to cost. We have had some money increased in our general fund, and I know that there's some people are saying, well, we need to spend it on the roads, we've got to spend it on health and human services, but we've also got to do this because we're not mandated to, but it's the right thing to do to make sure that our people are protected. And we're not just talking about a few million dollars. It's going to be several million dollars. We don't know at this point how much it's going to cost.
So this is something, this is ongoing.
Yes, it's ongoing. This is going to be a yearly cost. We can negotiate with the people that do this work and try to get a better cost because of the massive volume we've got there. But then again, we don't know at this point exactly how we're going to do it. Right now, they're still protected under the, I think it was mandate that's protecting them right now. I hope everybody called in and got on that list. Yeah.
Sure. And then there was a question of the second year protection, mm-hmm. but did that ever go through?
No, that's coming out in May 1st. They'll have an RFQ on that, which will tell us, give us the information we need to tell us how we are going to protect this thing ongoing and give us a kind of a ballpark figure of what it's going to cost. Right now, we don't know. We know it's going to be millions of dollars.
Now, is South Carolina the only state that this has happened to?
No. It's happening all over the country. I think we were one of the largest. This hit was one of the largest, but it's happening everywhere. I mean, with the new technology that's out there, I don't think we even know at this point where they got it from. Was it Russia, China, wherever? But what they'll do is sell that information.
Sure. And they'll just wait. They've got time on their side.
Yeah, sure. That's why I say it's going to be ongoing for years. We've got to protect people.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. Janice Cobb called in. She goes, Mr. Odell sounds like a veteran. Analysis, I like his presentation. No loud, blaring BS. Have him back, please. Well, he hasn't even left yet, Janice, so we'll keep him right here till 5 o'clock. But thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm sure I'll get some other calls.
Probably on the other side of the fence, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably. But let's see, we've talked a little bit about the education, the Department of Revenue. You know, now, speaking of spending money, one of the issues, of course, is how to handle our infrastructure, the bridges and the roads. We don't seem to be making any headway, or are we making headway down there?
I've seen more headway made this session than I've seen in a while. People are talking about, we've got to start. We can't just continue to do what we've been doing because our roads are in bad shape. Mm-hmm. Our bridges are in bad shape. We cannot repair them and do what we need to do with the second lowest gas tax in the nation.
Sounds like you're advocating we should pay more for gas tax.
I'm not, absolutely not. I think there are other ways that we can work this problem.
Such as
a bond bill to address just the highway system or the bridge system. That's available for us. Interest is as low as it's ever been in the country that I can think of, mm-hmm. and now's a good time to borrow that money and get our system back in order, because if we don't have good roads, we're not going to get the economic development that we need. And we've been fortunate in the state, and I give credit to the governor for what she's done with the Department of Commerce. That's also a cabinet agency, and it's doing a remarkable job. It hadn't always been that way. But under her guidance, I will say that they had done a heck of a job all around our area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I understand, according to talking to her, that there's a couple of big things that may be coming here to our area, right here in Greenwood or the surrounding area.
I think you might be right.
I try. try so hard to get this information for you. But yes, that's what she told me when I was out with her at Palmetto Christian. So a bond issue, do you think we'll see some movement before the end of the session?
I think we will. I think you will see some movement in the direction to specifically address that problem, because it needs to be addressed. Now, we have the infrastructure bank, but the sad part about it is all of that money has gone to the coast, because their people down there voted for a tax, a 1 cent sales tax or something, in order to access that infrastructure money. We haven't done that in this area for that much. That's why the money's not here. And I don't know that's the fair way to do it with the infrastructure bank, but I think we're going to be talking about that this session and next session.
Right.
How the infrastructure bank works.
Well, if we don't start doing something to the roads, I mean, we're going to be literally starting over with roads.
There was no question.
There's no repairing.
Well, you know, we've got BMW sitting up here in Greenville.
Right.
Fuji right here in Greenwood.
Yep.
And they all use our road system to get to the port.
Sure.
And if we don't, why would they stay here if we don't do something about it?
Sure. And plus you have all the ancillary businesses that support BMW.
People don't think about that, but you got to start thinking along those lines. Because it's just not because when you see somebody leaning on a shovel say DOT doesn't work. I think they work very hard for the money that's been given to them.
Well, they certainly have slowed down anything. Mm. I mean, they have really been put on standstill. I mean, here we are coming into prime season to work on the roads and everything. And are they going to be able to go out and work on the roads?
No more than they have in the past. But, I mean, they've done some work in the past. But they just don't have the money to do it. It's that simple.
And basically that came from when they got into trouble with the deficits that they had.
Well, that showed up. I mean, they're not getting any less money or any more money than they've been getting in the past. The problem is with the gas tax fixed at a certain percent, 12 cents or 14 cents, even though gas has gone up from $1 8-9 years ago to $3.40, our gas tax did not float with it.
Sure.
So people are driving less.
Yes, and the cars are more efficient.
They're more efficient, and we're not getting the same revenue we got. So that's one of the reasons we haven't got it. But with what this state depends on, tourism and our industrial customers, I mean, we've got to do it.
We absolutely have to do something about that. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the issues of the criminal justice system, police chief Gerald Brooks was on last week. I've got some questions to address to Billy about that. We'll be talking about some of the other things. I also want to ask him about Curtis Loftus and what he felt about how Curtis tried to make sure that we were protected on the money that was being spent with the retirement fund. So you keep it right here on WCRS. We'll be back. Don't you go away. And if you have a question, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest today, Senator Billy O'Dell. We've been talking about some of the issues that are facing our state. Billy, is there one that you particularly would like to address that's on your hot button list here this afternoon?
Well, not really. I think the Department of Revenue issue is the hot button for me this session, because it's so important to all of the constituents that I represent and for everybody in the state. We've just got to make certain that this thing is properly addressed and make certain that we protect the people ongoing. And whatever the cost is going to be, that's what it'll be. And hopefully we can negotiate enough to get a reasonable cost. Of course, I don't know what reasonable would be to protect people for years, but we've got to do it. Absolutely. And that's a big thing for me right now at this point.
Absolutely. Now, of course, Obamacare is coming down the pike here, and the governor said that she was not going to participate in the what do they call it? The cooperatives. Mm-hmm. What do you think about where we're at with that?
Well, she's kind of, you know, if our governor says they're not going to participate in it, she certainly has the veto power.
Sure.
So that tells me right quick it's not going to pass, not in South Carolina.
Sure.
And I don't know exactly what they did in the House, but I understand that they were going to put it in the budget, didn't get put in the budget. So for me, that it's dead.
It's a non-issue.
Yeah.
It's a non-issue. But I did see where they're talking about putting a bunch of people that are, up to 40,000 South Carolinians addicted to drugs or alcohol will be eligible for health insurance under the 2010 health care reform. And they say the officials at the State Department of Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse Services say they worry the expansion could swamp their already crowded provider network. And the law requires commercial insurance plans to cover addiction treatment. And many of these subsidies to help many buy private coverage says the estimated 362,000 South Carolinians suffer from substance abuse problems. That's a huge problem here in South Carolina.
Well, considering we've got a population of a little over 4 million, it is a huge problem,
sure.
Quite a big percentage. I firmly believe that rather than incarcerating people, we need to spend whatever money it takes to get them into programs that they might be able to get off of the drugs, because they're never going to be any good to themselves or anybody else as long as they're addicted. And
sure.
I would rather try to spend money in the health issues, mm-hmm. there than locking them up, because you get nothing for that. I mean, you probably train them to be a little bit worse than they were when they went in.
Sure.
But, as far as what they're mandating, we're meeting Tuesday with Director Keck with Health and Human Services. I don't know if he'll bring this up or not, but I'm on the subcommittee that works with Health and Human Services out of the Senate Finance Committee. And that's a good question. I'd like to know. I know that our Department of Alcohol and Abuse has been understaffed for a number of years. And if we're going to get some more in there, we're going to have to do something
about it.
Probably
going to deal with it, yeah. Now, that brings us to another question. What is, when we had Police Chief Gerald Brooks on a mm-hmm. week ago, he was telling me that part of our problem is the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. period, mm-hmm. whether it's in the state of South Carolina or on our national level. But in the state of South Carolina, he says, number one, we don't have enough judges. We don't have enough prisons. So therefore, we're spinning our wheels trying to solve some of the problems. Greenwood, as you know, was listed as either number one or number two in violent crimes in the state of South Carolina last year. And we're seeing it every day in the paper. It's just more and more and more. What's the answer, Billy?
You know, if I had that answer,
you'd retire, right?
I would. That's right. But you know, it's a serious problem, and you know, I think one of the problems that goes back probably 40 years is when we start taking religion out of the schools, and the moral background that I came up under as a youngster, and all of my friends did. We had problems back in those days. We had crime, but it wasn't anything as massive as it is now. No one has respect for the law. They think that just because they're born, they don't have to work. Somebody's going to pay them because they're here. Mm-hmm. The people in my generation never had that thought.
Sure.
Our thought was, we've got to get out here and get a job and make a living. But I don't know what I don't think it is a good answer. The best answer is you know, that educate people to understand that they've got to take care of their families. If you've got someone that's disruptive in your family, then you need to handle that situation as a family member. You don't need to be calling the police to handle it. You need to handle it yourself. I'm talking about these younger people that we have when you can't handle them. You can't handle some of these older folks. You can't handle them. But
what about the parents, though, that say, you know, they have a mentally disturbed, I'll use that word, to deal with children, and they call the authorities, and the authorities do say, hey, you need to handle this yourself, and we can't seem to get anywhere with this. What should we be doing about these?
Well, you know, I can't address all of that because I know that we have mental health facilities. Beckman Center here in Greenwood does an excellent job. Mm-hmm. Of course, they understaff and
Sure.
Patrick Harris and Anderson does a great job. Those two I'm familiar with, and we got them all over the state like that.
But they don't have many beds available.
But we're spending the money. We're putting the money out there, but we've just got so much of a problem. And I guess it's just social issues. You know, again, going back to earlier generations, people took care of their own problems. Mm-hmm. They weren't looking for the government to take care of them. And as a result, we've let it degrade to the fact that the government's telling you everything you want to do, and I'm tired of the government telling me everything. And,
sure. And
that's part of the judicial system. The more laws we pass in Columbia, the worse the judicial system is going to get overloaded. But that's the way we're graded as far as politicians. What'd you do? What laws have you passed? I haven't passed a lot of laws because I don't think we need a lot of laws. We can't even enforce the ones we got.
So I guess you would feel we don't need more judges? We don't need prisons? What do we need there?
With the problems we've got, we put on 10 judges this year. Mm-hmm. Put in the budget last year. And I was under the impression we might try to put 3 more on. I don't think that's going to happen. But maybe next session we can put some more on. With the problems we've got, we have got to have the judges. And possibly, you know, the judicial system needs to get involved to where they can move these trials along. Just don't keep putting them off and procrastinating and trying to get somebody else for another month or two here so I can get a better judge. That's the way the system works. I'm not a lawyer, so I think that's
now everybody's game in the system,
yeah,
right? Yes.
Yeah.
So now what about the prisons, though, Billy? Do you think we need more prisons or not?
I would hope not because, it costs about $16,000 a year to keep a person in prison. And I don't think we spend very much more than that on educating a child.
That's a frightening comparison.
Well, it is. That's true.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm not certain that, if our prisons are at capacity at this point or not. I haven't looked into it that deeply. But I think probably what Gerald's talking about is the county detention centers are probably way overloaded, and they have to keep them there until they go to trial, and that's happening all over the state. And see, we've got so many new laws, but as far as the safety of a prisoner, you've got to have certain standards you have to adhere to.
And there was that new prison down in Bishopville that didn't even have staff or have the cameras or protection that was necessary, right?
That was a state prison.
State prison, right.
And one of the reasons it wasn't because we couldn't afford to staff it. The state couldn't do it. Now, we've had a hard time, from 07, 08, 09. It was tough going. The legislature had to cut a lot of people out, agencies. Correction suffered, DNR suffered. Highway patrols, everybody suffered.
Sure.
Judicial system suffered. So we mandated to have a balanced budget in the state, and thank God for it. I wish the United States had to do that, and we'd be a lot better off. But unfortunately, we can only spend what we've got. And if the revenue's not coming in, we have to cut.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Billy O'Dell, Senator Billy O'Dell, right here on WCRS some more. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call. Or if you've got a comment out of what Senator Billy O'Dell said here today, love to hear from you. So give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime. From Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. The Senator Billy O'Dell is with us here today, having a great conversation. Billy, I wanted to ask you about the immigration, on the federal level. Of course, they're looking at immigration, and right now there is a policy that's out there that they're looking at. What do you think about what we should do on immigration?
Well, I think they're approaching it in the manner that it should have been approached years ago, is secure the border. Make sure that we're not letting people in here, and then take the ones we've got in here and make them semi-legal, not a citizen. I don't want to give them citizenship, but I say give them a worker's permit. That's what they do in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
People travel all over Europe on worker's permits, and that's what we need to be doing since we've had this massive problem. And I think that way we can track these folks. Right now, at my company, we e-verify, so we know who we're dealing with. But there's still a lot of people around here that there's no way to track them, and you don't know where they are, what they're doing, and who they're affiliating with. I think with the e-verify that we put into place about 3 years ago here in South Carolina. That's been a big boon for us.
But we still have a lot of illegals here in South Carolina.
But I don't think any... It's harder for them to get a job than it was, say, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. I mean, you're always going to have that aspect of it.
Sure.
But if you secure that border and you cut out all of the fringes that they've been able to get, then you won't have this problem.
Now, here's my question. Because there's a big question about whether we can actually secure the borders. That is the question.
I was just reading in the paper where I think they've been being more successful at this point. The only way we're ever going to secure it, what we should probably be doing is putting our troops down there and saying, you know, we're going to make sure this thing is secure. That's what other countries do.
Yes.
And we get out of some of these Mideast wars, and maybe we can afford to do that or have people to do it.
Absolutely. Now, one question, one of the things we haven't talked about is this big issue of flow control,
mm-hmm.
where the trash goes. You know, what do you feel about that, Billy?
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I feel sorry for the county folks that have had to go in debt and build landfills because they were mandated to. Again, this came down from the federal level, from the EPA, who sits up in Washington and looks at books and say, well, we ought to do this, and it doesn't matter what it costs. They might have gave them some federal money to help do it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they've built massive, nice landfills that will take care of the problem we have. All of us want to keep the environment as clean as possible.
Sure.
And I think the county has done well at that. And then you get back to the point, you've got a private business out here trying to make a living. And I'm a private businessman, and I don't want the government coming in here telling me what everything I've got to do, and that's what they're saying. If you pick up trash in X county, then you take that trash to that county's landfill. Now, if your price is higher, county, if your price is higher, it doesn't matter. But the businessman is saying, I can take it over here for $15 a tipping fee cheaper. Why can't I do that? No, you got to take it here and pay $15 more. I can't agree with that.
And that is an issue that is active right now.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Very active,
yes.
Yeah.
And I know right here in Greenwood, I believe we're at $40 a ton.
Correct.
And I think that Two Chimneys up the road there in Greenville is at $30.
And less if you, it's according to how much you bring to them.
Mm-hmm.
30 is a standard. But and I've talked with the Greenwood folks and the private business people. And I think the best thing they can do is get together and negotiate a rate. The county says they need the trash to help with the deficit they're looking at.
Sure.
Well, if my daddy always told me, a little bit of something is better than a little bit of nothing.
Sure.
Now, if you can negotiate and get something in there paying, then you better off to try to do it because you've already got that fixed expense. That landfill is there. You've already obligated to pay for it.
Sure.
So you better work something out with this private hauler and see if you can't bring some money in.
Well, you know, there's the gas going up and down the road. There's all these issues to look mm-hmm. at. And, you know, this is what private business does, doesn't it? They negotiate and make a contract and make a deal that both parties can live with.
If you're going to stay in business, you've got to. Now, if we just say, okay, county, you can tell them what you want to pay. That you're going to pay. If you want to raise it up $10 in 2 years, that's okay because we're not going to tell them they can take it anywhere.
Greenwood trash has to stay in Greenwood. That's basically what they're saying that they would
right? In fairness to the county, they're providing a lot of services that some counties don't, like the convenience centers we have here.
Sure.
And the recycling and the debris pickup. They might have to cut out doing that in order to meet their budget. But that's a decision they're going to have to make, unless they can work out something with this private hauler.
So you don't feel that that on the state level they should be saying you have to leave the trash in Greenwood stays in Greenwood?
No.
They shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a rule whether trash can come from outside the area into this area. I guess that's the other issue, isn't it? Coming from other states.
I've got a problem with that, we're going to have to look at that. I do not advocate bringing other states' waste into this state. I don't know how we can prevent it, but then again, we can sure work on it.
Okay. So there's a two-edged sword there.
Yeah.
There's two sides
right.
to this. Well, that's some of the issues. I know that I can't really see how the county could mandate or the counties could be mandated to keep the trash here. I think that is highly oppressive.
Well, I'm just against any mandates. I mean, I don't know of any mandates that I've voted for since I've been in office, because I think government sometimes gets way out of control in mandating things, mm-hmm. and I just normally I'm not going to vote for it.
Sure. Now, one of the other things that I had read is that they may have to up the taxes or something in order to cover some of these services.
Well,
if that doesn't go through,
then they may have to cut some of the services.
Okay, that's the alternative.
That's
right?
The alternative. Yeah.
Those are hard choices that
they
all have to make.
When you go back to when the state was in such a bind financially, we had to cut services. People got mad about it.
Sure.
They're mad about these roads right now. We're going to have to do something about that, but, you know, that's where we are.
Well, I don't think the roads cannot wait any longer.
No, they can't.
And the bridges either. You know, I think I sat down and talked to Governor Haley, and she goes, what do we want, to have some bridge accident or mm-hmm. something where people get killed before we really mm-hmm. get on it?
And she advocated, you know, taking some of this money that we're with increased revenue that we're getting because the economy has picked up and doing things with that. And I agree with her. But then again, I didn't hear her say anything about what we're going to do with the Department of Revenue with the money we're going to have to spend there. And that's millions of dollars.
So you've got some big issues to deal with down there. Now, I wanted to ask you about former Governor Sanford, who is running for first district congressman. He's kind of been in a little bit of a scandal, I should say, out there. His wife is got him in court over being in her house without her permission. What do you think about Governor Sanford's chances on winning the race?
I would think he probably has a 50-50 chance or better.
50-50, yeah, okay. Well, yeah. It is a Republican district, right?
No doubt about it. It's a Republican district. But, you know, I think the people should look at his record and say, you know, this guy told us he's going to do all of this, we're going to cut taxes, all this. What did he actually do?
Well, you were there when he was governor, correct?
He articulates his position very well and accomplishes very little. But the people believe that he's going to be able to accomplish a lot. And I think he's an embarrassment. I think that just going back to his personal family life, to what his children,
what he's involved in. Through, yeah.
Yeah, and they've had to go through a lot of trauma there. I feel sorry for him. I think if it had been me and I'd been in that situation he's in, I think I would have run from politics. I wouldn't want any more publicity, for God's sake.
You would think.
Yeah, even for my kids.
Exactly. Well, there was a lot of news about this, and it's going on. Governor Sanford, from what I've heard, doesn't feel that it was that big a issue, and definitely said he was with his wife and children on Easter. So,
well, you know that, you know what gets me there. This is a guy that got elected on family values. How do you justify that? I mean, really.
So what do you think would be the effect if Elizabeth Colbert Bush were
to get elected? I think she might have, you know, whatever that term is, but I don't think she'd be reelected. That's a Republican district, and I don't see it changing.
So that's what you've heard right here from Senator Billy O'Dell. Interesting issues we're talking about. Billy, any other issue that we didn't cover here on our legislative update right here on WCRS today?
I think we covered everything under the sun. You got anything else?
We have a lot of things that we've covered here. Guns are a big issue. The Department of Revenue sounds like that is topmost on your issue on how we're going to handle that.
Yeah, that's a big issue right now. There's several gun bills in the mix, so we don't really know. We got another year to work on it.
Colleen Sturgeon said, maybe the legislature needs some monitors for fiscal behavior, and you should be one of them. Well, there you go.
I got more than I can say, Grace, over there.
I know one of the things you were telling me before you came in that it's tiring. It's tiring, the situation that we're in with this, and it just seems to never end, does it?
Well, yeah, it's ongoing, and particularly with the fiscal problems we've had because of the recession, and it's just you're trying to work, and you don't want to see anybody get laid off. We got teachers laid off. We got people in administration laid off, and it really gets to you.
It does.
It bothers me.
Absolutely.
But that's the job. And you know, I ran for election, was fortunate enough to get elected, so I'm going to hang around for a while and see if I can help.
Well, Billy O'Dell, it is always a pleasure to have you here right here on WCRS. I think we've learned a lot today, and I certainly hope that in the future we can count on you coming back to sit down with us when you have some more intel for us.
Well, thank you, and I always enjoy meeting with you and talking, and of course, we don't get a lot of things solved. We talk a lot, but sometimes we get something done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, we're talking about the legislature. You go back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I got to be there at 11, but we don't go in until 12.
Till 12. Thank you so much for being here today, Senator O'Dell. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.